This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Glad you're with us. We continue our tour around the SEC with preseason camp in full swing. And our man, Roddy Nabulski of UGASports.com, joining us here this morning. Roddy, always good to hear from you, my friend. Hope all is well.
Everything is great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Man, we got lots of questions, Roddy. Are you ready? You ready?
Sure. Let's do it as fast as we can.
You're not new to a lot of questions during the off season. Georgia picked to finish really high. A lot of people love them in the Eastern Division. Great running back core. The quarterback is very talented. That offensive line, though, three starters are gone from last year. Give us an appraisal of that one, Roddy.
Well, you know, Georgia's picked to win the SEC East, but I think solely based on the fact that somebody has to. I mean, it's not a great division in college football right now. It's kind of down, although I do think it's picking up. I mean, you know, these things are cyclical, and a lot of good coaches in the SEC East now, and the recruiting's picked up. But you nailed it on the head when you mentioned the offensive line. I mean, yeah, Georgia's got maybe the best tight ends in the nation. They've got two great running backs who could start just about anywhere, and some young guys coming in, you know, and the running back core that are just lights out. The receivers have picked up, but let's look at this offensive line where you had a average, to be kind, offensive line last year, made up of, you know, guys who were playing out of position, you know, guys who were playing center for the first time or a tackle for the first time or a tackle that came in from Rhode Island. You know, it was not exactly the offensive line that you want for a freshman quarterback to be standing behind. Then this year you think, okay, well, that's got to get better because, you know, can't really get worse. But the problem is you're replacing both tackles in a center, and you're either going to replace them with guys who couldn't break into that rotation last year, i.e. they weren't the five best you had on your team, or they're true freshmen. So it's not exactly like people could say, well, oh, well, last year is just an anomaly, and now, you know, Georgia's offensive line will be great. That's tough to say because, you know, the guys that you had here last year couldn't break into that starting rotation, and your other options to play, you know, Andrew Thomas, a true freshman, you know, or Torrey Johnson, or Justin Schaefer, any of these guys who, you know, 5 months ago were in high school. So the biggest question mark Georgia has by far, I mean, is returning, you know, 10 of its 11 starters on defense, is that offensive line. Everything else looks pretty good for Georgia, especially considering they're playing in the East and not the West. But that offensive line is a huge, huge, huge question mark.
As it was last season, will be another one this year to see how it all comes together, how it all gels. You got some great playmakers, a quarterback coming back with some experience in Jacob Eason, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb coming back as well. But as you well know, Roddy, you got to have an offensive line to make all of that click.
Yeah, exactly. And I know a lot of people are excited to see what Jacob Eason can do this year. He's, you know, said that the game has slowed down for him a little bit. I mean, you know, he went out there as a true freshman and played in every one of Georgia's games, started 12 of the 13, and played most of that first game. I mean, yeah, he didn't start it, but, I mean, he came in, what, the middle of the second quarter, and it was his the rest of the way. So he's obviously grown up a lot. He's a lot more comfortable, you know, being on the field, you know, in the speed of this game. Coming from Washington State, you don't exactly see SEC-caliber cornerbacks, like, you know, until you get here. So, and Nick Chubb was not exactly Nick Chubb of the past last year, but he's completely healthy now. Sony Michel, as you mentioned, you know, probably – Sony Michel starts just about anywhere else. There's no question about it. And you're going to see him on the field a lot. They're working all sorts of packages to have him in the slot, to have him in the backfield, you know, along with Nick Chubb. You just can't keep him off the field. But, yeah, that offensive line, I mean, it's great if you have, you know, these wonderful skill players. You know, Isaac Donald, one of the best tight ends in the nation. But if Jacob Eason is running for his life, or there are no holes for Nick Chubb, I mean, Nick Chubb can only do so much. I mean, a one-on-one battle against the inside linebacker or trying to gain the edge, you like Nick Chubb's chances. But if all of a sudden it's two-on-one because somebody didn't get their hat on somebody else, well, you know, there's only – Nick Chubb is human. It's hard to believe it, but he is human, and he will go down. So a huge question mark on that offensive line, and Sam Pittman has his work cut out for him. I do think they'll be better. I do think that some of the guys they brought in are going to help. But I don't know if it'll be this year, but next year when those guys have matured a little bit, that offensive line is going to be nasty. I've never seen a team recruit so well in the offensive line at Georgia. The crop they put in last year, the ones they're getting this year, unreal. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Kirby Smart, he has definitely recruited well. And, you know, after last year, which was up and down, 8-5, 4-4 in the league, people are expecting a step forward. Otherwise, you know, is it a fair statement to say that if they challenge in the East but fall short in year two with all of this talent that they have on offense, that people will start whispering that Mark, you know, that he's just like Mark Richt? I mean, is this a significant step forward year for Kirby Smart, do you think?
Yeah, and it's not fair because Mark Richt left him was not very good. I mean, there are some wonderful skill players. You know, there's a Nick Chubb there. You know, there's Jeb Blazevic, you know, the tight end, some great defensive players, but it's not enough to say, okay, in year two, you need to win the East, you need to win the SEC. But if you combine the fact that the SEC East is down and you did bring in, you know, the number three class in the nation, and granted, they're all freshmen. It's tough to demand them to come out and win as freshmen. But people will. But to your point, yes, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter that you're trying to plug freshman offensive linemen into a team and win the East. But the East is down, and Kirby Smart has to win it. Mark Richt could win the division. Mark Richt could win you 9 games. He could win you 8 games. He averaged 10 wins a season. If you want to come in and, you know, win 9, go 9-3, well, hell, they had that with the old guy. Mm. So what they want is you to come in and win the East, make it to Atlanta, win in Atlanta. Now, I don't think he has to beat to win the actual SEC outright this year. I think just getting back to Atlanta, you know, stop having it so that the new guy, you know, McElwain down in Florida, comes in and wins 2 in a row in his first 2 years.
You know, Roddy, and I know we've talked with you about this before, but I got to think Georgia fan is so frustrated. Yeah. I mean, you have got an area that, you know, has got a lot of great talent in your own backyard. You know, you're kind of the only game in town in some regard. I mean, Georgia Tech, yeah, they're kind of there, but, you know, it's not like an Alabama-Auburn thing over there. To me, Georgia is ripe to just really be successful year after year after year. And Georgia fan, you're right. They're tired of it. They're ready to get back to that championship level.
No, Georgia fan is chewing nails because, you know, since even with Mark Richt was here, you know, Alabama wins titles. Auburn's won titles. Tennessee's won a title. Florida's won a title. Now Clemson's won a title. I mean, the last one you won was 1980, and Clemson won one in 81 or 83, somewhere right behind you. And now they've won another title since you have. They're an hour up the road. You know, Auburn's 3 hours away. All these teams that are so close, and you're the one that can't do it, and you're the home team. So Georgia fans are going nuts. And to my point earlier, you know, if you go 8-5, 9-3, something like that, and not get back to Atlanta, you're not showing market improvement in year two. The narrative on Kirby Smart is going to be this. Everybody knows he can recruit. There's no question about it. There never has been. There never will be. He's a known recruiter. He did that in his first full year. He signed the number three class in the nation, something Georgia hadn't seen in a while. They've always recruited well, but never at, you know, I should say never, but very, very seldom at that high level. The big question is, can he coach? And if Georgia goes 9-3 and are sitting at home watching Tennessee or Florida play in the SEC title game, that is a unsuccessful and unacceptable situation. So there'll be a lot of questions about, well, he just can't do it. He just can't coach unless they get to Atlanta, you know, and then all of a sudden people will be like, yeah, this is our guy. You know, he's come home. He can recruit. And it's going to help him immeasurably on the recruiting circuit, even though the recruiting at a very high clip. They had 3 commits this past week. But all of a sudden you start showing that you can make it back to Atlanta. All those promises you've made to kids about, hey, if you guys stay home, we will win titles. That they start to buy into it. So, and then you pick up the kids who are just waiting to see how you're going to do. So, if he wins the SEC East, it gets a lot easier on the recruiting trail.
Well, that's good stuff. Roddy Nabulsi, UGASports.com. In your estimation, what does Jacob Eason need to do? A very solid freshman year, very, very solid freshman year. What does he need to do to continue to evolve as Georgia's quarterback?
It's accuracy. I mean, the guy, he's got a cannon for an arm. He looks great this whole camp that we've seen him in. The ball, you can just hear it whistling as it comes out. I mean, he's got so much more velocity and so much more arm strength and talent than just about anybody on the team. And, you know, there's another five-star right behind him in Jake Fromm. You know, the kid is very talented. But Eason looks great. He looks like an NFL quarterback. The problem for him last year, in my opinion, wasn't so much staring down one receiver, although a lot of people will say that, you know, having trouble with his progressions. To me, his biggest issue last year was accuracy beyond 20 to 25 yards. I mean, anything when he started to go deep, the ball just wasn't on the money. And I think that a lot of defensive coordinators saw that, and they said, you know, we're going to stack the box because we know what Nick Chubb can do. We know what Sony Michel can do. This guy, although he's, you know, all-world talent, he's just not hitting those deep passes. So even if they're going to line up, you know, even if I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm worried about my cornerbacks, my safety, you know, one-on-one against Georgia's receivers, I don't know that the quarterback can put the ball in the money. So that's almost like having an extra defender back there. I'm not going to worry about it. If he starts showing that he can hit those passes deep, all of a sudden those coordinators have a lot more to worry about. And to me, that's the one major step that Jacob Eason needs to take. He needs to be able to hit on some of those deep routes where the guys are open, and he needs to stop overthrowing them and underthrowing them. Hit them in stride, put points on the board, open up the play action game, you know. Open up that running game a little bit, make those guys, back those safeties out of the box. Then all of a sudden, Georgia's offense is rolling, and Jim Chaney looks like a genius.
Roddy, this is what we have sort of looked at and seen. I do the radio play-by-play at Troy University, and we have seen Appalachian State before. A lot of people saw Appalachian State last year almost pull an upset over Tennessee. Appalachian State at home, and then maybe looking ahead a little bit to the game at Notre Dame in week number two. That Appalachian State game shapes up as a trap game, something that, I mean, really important in the context of things for Georgia. Am I right?
You're absolutely right. You guys know former head coach Jim Donnan. He's a good friend of mine. He's comes on my show a lot. And if I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 10 times. He's like, Georgia fans better not overlook Appalachian State. You know, you got Tyler Lamb coming in at quarterback. He's a very talented young man. They are ridiculously good. They are not scared of anybody. And they play really well. And if Georgia is looking ahead to Notre Dame, and trust me, all the Georgia people are.
Yeah.
Notre Dame game, I mean, people are buying tickets for $638 a pop. You know, it's people are like, hey, well, on Friday we got the Cubs game, and on Sunday is the Falcons game. It's going to be this huge whole sports weekend. And I'm like, you do understand that there is a game prior to that. And a very important one. And one, and I won't say Georgia's being humiliated, but – if you lose to App State, it's a humiliation game, but that's because nobody in the country gives them enough credit for how good they are. And I'm not trying to do like, you know, how Vince Dooley would talk about how everybody, no matter how small a school they were, as if they were the next, you know, Green Bay Packers. But, no, App State is a very good team, and you nailed it when you said trap game.
Well,
if they're not focused on App State, they will get their butts handed to them, especially if they're trying to work in a new offensive line.
I was going
to
ask you, I mean, obviously a lot of excitement, Notre Dame and Georgia. It's been a while. They met in the Sugar Bowl back, 35 years ago, if not longer. And I know it's been the big talk over there. They can't wait to get to South Bend.
They can't, and it's Georgia's had some – interesting success on the road. I mean, but some of their most fun games, win or lose, have been, you know, going out to Colorado, going out to Arizona State, you know, Oklahoma State. The fan base gets very excited about going to a new town, a new city. You know, I mean, all these people are going to Chicago. I'm doing it. I'm leaving the Wednesday prior. You know, I got two baseball games and an extra Falcons game on my docket. So I'm one of those people who's all excited about going up there and seeing something different and playing. You know, I mean, think about it. You're going to be at South Bend. I mean, that's a legendary stadium. So, point is, everybody's looking at that, and they're not exactly paying attention to the fact that, you know, hey, there's App State in front of you, and you still got to try to win the East. I mean, Georgia, and part of it also, Georgia's home schedule this year is not exactly a thrilling one. So a lot of people are looking at the home schedule going, yeah, that's not exactly going to put butts in seats this year. It'll get better next year, but right now the home schedule is pretty, it's not exactly thrilling.
UGASports.com, all of the coverage of Georgia athletics, and Roddy Nabulsi is here from UGASports.com. I follow him on Twitter at Roddy Nabulsi. You mentioned a radio show, Roddy.
Yeah, we started doing a podcast. I shouldn't call it a radio show. We used to do the radio show of Dog Dial, and that went out over like 25 stations. But what we started doing was a podcast called UGA Sports Live. You can find it on iTunes, Google Play, any place where you normally look one up, SoundCloud, Podbean, any of those. And we basically sit around for an hour and make fun of each other and talk Georgia football. So
hey,
it's a good show.
Awesome.
We sit
stuff.
Around for 3 hours and make fun of each other. Mm-hmm. It's worked for us. For
yeah, I was yeah. going to say, hey, there, where do you think my inspiration awesome. Came from, guys?
Yeah, it is fantastic. Great stuff. Hey, Roddy, as always, we greatly appreciate your time. Always enjoy touching base with you, and I'm sure we'll be doing it again real soon.
Hey, I look forward to it, guys. Hit me up anytime.
Thanks very much. Roddy Nabulsi.